If you'll open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. I'm going to go back to verse 25 of chapter 2 because that's what we got started on last week. Let's just get John 2:25. The Bible says, and needed not, 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Father, again, we ask for your help. We can do nothing without you, and we know that. We're helpless and hopeless. And Lord, if you don't send your touch this morning, Lord, if you don't speak through us and to us and fill us with your Spirit, then nothing good will come of it, and you'll get no glory out of it. Lord, I pray that you just do those things that you might get glory. We're willing vessel, Lord, and we just pray that you would put in our hearts and our minds what we need to hear and say and do, that we may exalt you and glorify you and be obedient to you in all things. We've done enough wasting of time, spent enough, Lord, energy doing all kinds of other things. I pray that, Lord, we would just do all that we can to serve you from here to the end. Lord, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I began last week talking to you about what this part of the Scripture talks about. And the very last thing, and the reason I took you back into chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, was just simply because of what the Bible says. Jesus would not commit himself to any man. These Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the councils, and all that sort of group, they knew. I mean, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because nobody can do what you're doing unless God's with him. And you know what he was trying to do? He's trying to recruit him. That's what he was trying to do. You know, Nicodemus was one of the best, probably one of the best men in the Sanhedrin Council to do just that, to recruit. You may say, recruit? Yeah, they proselyted people. You know, they take a, Jesus told them one time, told the Pharisees, he said, you take a man, and he said, you proselyte him, and he said, you make him a twofold child of hell. You know why? Because he said, all the stuff you teach him, he's going to go out and teach somebody else and lead somebody else to hell, just like you're going to hell. He called them blind leaders of the blind. He said, if the blind lead the blind, he said, they both fall in the ditch.
That's right.
So Nicodemus was actually coming, you know, sort of, he had some questions. He came at night, but folks, I want to tell you, recruitment was part of what was on his mind. And the Bible says in chapter 20 and chapter 2 that Jesus, he would not commit himself to any of them. They all wanted him to be part of their group. They all wanted to claim some of him. You know, well, he's part of us. He's one of our preachers. He's one of our best evangelists we've got in our association. That's what they were after. They were after recognition. They were after power. They were after influence. That's what they wanted. And folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus wouldn't commit to any of them because he knew what their motives were. You see, when we hit the judgment seat of Christ, folks, you're not going to be judged for your sins. Your sins are under the blood. You're going to be judged for your works.
Amen.
Your deeds, good or bad. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us. And you know what's the, you know what's going to come of that? You know what's going to be examined? The motive.
Right.
The motive. That's what it's going to, your motive. You know, when they go down here to the courtroom and it's a murder trial or something like that, you know, they try to determine what the motive, whether it was first degree murder or second degree murder or third degree or voluntary manslaughter or involuntary, they try to determine what the crime was by the motive of the perpetrator. And when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not only, brother and sister, to give an account for what we've done, but it's also to examine the motive behind that. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, that was something of the flesh. Why did you do this? Well, my ego, Lord. Won't that be hard to admit to? You know, you asked for blessings, you asked for help, and I sent you the help, and you rejected it. Why did you reject the help? Lord, my ego.
Preach, brother.
my pride. So you decided that your ego's with your family suffering for 10 years when you could have been blessed. That's what it's going to be. The motive. Not only the deed, but the motive behind the deed. That's where the gold, silver, and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble is going to come in. That's the motive. Here's something encouraging. I know that was discouraging. Here's something encouraging. You know what the motive is going to be for the crown of gold? You know what that is? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Well, we ain't got much of a preacher, but you know I stayed faithful to the church because that's where God called me and that's where God sent me and that's where I stayed. And I came as often as I could. I helped as much as I could. I stayed there until the day I died and they buried me up there in that Well, Lord, I ain't got much to show. Lord says, but you hung in there with him. You know, you stayed. That's gold. You understand that?
Amen.
Boy, wouldn't it be something when the King of Glory fashions something out of that gold of your faithfulness and all of a sudden he just sets it on your head, looks you square in the eye and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's motive right there. To do what? Just to be faithful. Just to be faithful. Jesus knew Jesus knows what's in you this morning. He knows exactly what's there. He don't need me to tell, Lord, I want to talk to you about Brother Eddie. I need to talk to you about Brother Henry. I need to talk to you about Brother Keith or Brother Bill. Lord says, you don't need to talk to me about these guys. How come? Because I already know what's in them.
Amen.
I know what's in their wives. I know what's in their children. I know what's in the community, the church that you're in. He said, I know why people won't come to church. He said, I know the excuses they make. And he said, I know the reasons why they don't. He said, you don't have to tell me any of that stuff, son. He says, I know it all.
Amen.
You know why? Because he knows what's in man.
That's right.
He knows what's in man. And we came across this expression here in verse 1 of chapter 3. There was a man. And I took it from there because when the scripture says that he needed not that any should testify a man for he knew what was in man. Psalm 62 verse 9 says, surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. So that's it. I mean, us clodhoppers, we're men of low degree. You know what that means? We're vanity. Men of high degree, who's that? Well, the president, the vice president, senators, the congressmen, at least in our country, the governor. You know, the men of high degree, you know what they are? They're a lie.
Yeah. Amen.
If you want to know what's... And I'm... Look, folks, this book is true for every administration. I don't care which side you pull for.
Amen.
You understand that? They do or say whatever they have to do or say to get in where they want to get in so they can have power and manipulate things. Men of low degree, we're vanity. Who are we? Clodhoppers? We're just faceless masses.
Amen.
Men of high degree, who in the world does not know the name Donald Trump? Who in the world does not know the name Joe Biden? Does anybody know Henry Dowling? Why, just a handful. And it won't even hardly be, you ask who Tommy Holden is, there'll be a few people in Jackson County might know. Round cashers. That's about it. He dies, what happens? 4 or 5 years down the line, and say, you know, I used to know a guy named Tommy Holden. He's still alive. Oh, no, he's dead. What? He's dead? Yeah, he's been dead 5 years. Well, I sure didn't know that. Barbie aggravates me all the time. I'll look on the obituary columns. She aggravates me all the time. I want to know who's dead. I look. I know Chris. She calls down there every day. She, why? What, do you think you're next preacher? I hope not. But you know, sometimes I've had some friends.
Yeah.
whose parents have passed away, and I wouldn't have known that had I not saw that. May say, is that the justification? No, I want to tell you something, folks. This Bible says that our lives are but a vapor. And I'm almost 59 years old. And I want to tell you, it's a lot faster than that. Yeah. It's a lot faster than that. Men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. You put all of us together. All of us. All the geniuses and all the idiots, and you put us all together, and you weighed us against what's good and right, and guess what? We can't even tip the scale in our favor. So I thought, boy, Psalms 39:5 says this. He says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." So I just decided, well, that expression, "there was a man," occurs about 15 times in the Bible. So I just decided, well, let's just go back and see what the condition of man is, what God's estimation of man's condition is. God knows what's in you. God knows what's in me. And if God knows what's in each of us, then God knows this book's going to tell us what our real condition is. And we talked about, I think, three last week is what we talked about. We talked about Gideon first. You remember him over in Judges chapter 7. And you know what God did? God used an enemy soldier to convince one of his servants that he needed. And poor old Gideon, he just like you or me. He had all kinds of doubts. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him a mighty man of valor, he started looking around to see who he's talking about. And he was the only one there. And he said, "No, I'm going to use you, and you're going to beat these Midianites, and you're going to deliver the people of Israel." And you know Gideon. "Well, Lord, if you really want me to do this," he laid the fleece out. And the first night he said, let it do on everything, let the fleece be dry. That's what happened. He said, "Lord, I'm going to do it again. I just need to make sure." Gets over there, and he said, "Let it do just on the fleece and the ground be dry." He wrung out a whole bucket full of water out of that fleece. The ground was dry as a bone. He goes down there, and he's still scared to death. He's got 32,000 in his army. The Lord says, "That weighs too many." He cuts them down. You know, he's got 300 guys. I talked about the 300 weirdos that God used with Gideon to defeat the Midianites. And you know, they didn't shed any blood. They didn't use their swords to attack the enemy. Their swords, all they used them for, those 300 guys probably didn't even know which end of a sword the hilt was on. Probably somebody had to say, "Careful, you'll cut yourself." You ever give a kid a knife and the first thing he does is cuts himself with it? "I told you to be careful." You know, they don't know. The old man says, "Never cut towards you. Never cut towards you." How many scars have you got on you because you failed to heed the old man's advice? Well, those are the kind of guys that Gideon had. Gideon says, "Don't worry about that." And the Lord says this. The Lord tells him, he says, "You go down there to the edge of the camp. It's night now. You go down there and you just hide behind a rock and you just listen." And this enemy soldier comes up, and the Bible says there was a man. And it was an enemy soldier. And the enemy soldier had the dream. And he said, "I saw a cake of barley come rolling down off the hill. It just tore a tent down flat." And he said, "It just laid flat on the ground." And his buddy said, "Oh, this ain't nothing but the sword of the Lord." And he said, "God's going to use Gideon, and he's going to kill every one of us." And boy, Gideon got encouraged and walked back up and said, "Fellas, let's ring the camp. Take your swords, break your pitchers, hold that lamp up and holler the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's all you got to do." And that's what happened. There was a man. Gideon was a man filled with doubts, constantly weak in faith. And it took an enemy soldier. It took an enemy soldier. There was a man. He was an enemy soldier to convince this man, after God had already spoken to him, answered three prayer requests directly, And he still doubted whether he should be doing what he was about to do. There was a man. In Micah, or in Judges chapter 17, there was a man named Micah. And you know what Micah did? He took some silver and he fashioned himself a god. And folks, I want to tell you, whether you know it or not, we will fashion a god that we like. That's what Micah did. We're talking about what's in man. The Lord knew what was in man, so let's look at the condition of man. We see Gideon, and we see the enemy soldier. Now we see Micah in Judges chapter 17, and Micah fashions him a god he can see, a god he can touch, a god he can talk to, and a god he can control. You know, that's what a lot of people's problems are, is they have control issues. They think, they've convinced themselves that what happened to you won't happen to me if I can control the situation so that the circumstances that took you where you are won't ever take me where I am. Man, I want to tell you, you are delusional. You ought to be on medication. Because this Bible right here talks about the fact, brother and sister, that life just happens. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason for it. Well, I've got to be prepared for every eventuality. Is that the God that you have fashioned with your hands so that you can worship? Is that the God you're worshiping? You fashion Him out of silver. You fashion Him out of control. You fashion Him out of that. Is that the one that you can... Is that the one you want? Do you think if you have control of your life that everything's going to be fine? Really? You want the Lord to turn the devil loose on you and tear everything apart after everything you've tried to prove to you that the only person who really has any control is Him?
That's right.
I want to tell you something, folks. I've seen things in my life. I've seen things in the lives of others. And you know what my prayer is? Lord, I dread When I see things going on, not judging people, not condemning people, not nothing like that. Just from what I've been through myself, okay? From what I've seen, I mean, the Lord's given me He's given me enough sense to pay attention to hindsight. We say hindsight's 20/20. Why don't we ever use it then?
Amen.
I mean, why don't, if hindsight's 20, I have to wear glasses. I've got trifocals. I got a pair of glasses at home that's stronger than the bottom of these, and I've got to use them now. Why is that? Because this forward vision's getting worse all the time. But boy, hindsight's 20/20. Why don't we use that? If we can see that clearly. And you know what scares me sometimes? Is the path I see some people walking down and understanding what the Lord may have to do to get their attention and to get them back where they're supposed to be. I want to tell you something, brother and sister. You can't serve until you get broke.
Amen.
You can't serve until you get broke. That wild ass's coat that you read about in Ecclesiastes and Job and Proverbs, said, man is born like a wild ass's colt. Do you know what the law of God stated? That when a little donkey was born, if it wasn't redeemed by a lamb, it had to have its neck broke.
Amen.
Because it had to be broken in order to serve. And some people refuse, I won't break. I ain't going to crack. It just worries me. Why? Because I've seen them fashion themselves a god out of something. Security. Oh, I wish Trump would have stayed in because our economy was, I could have sure done. Really? Really? You think one man? Do you think one man? Do you think one man? I love that one man. That's the first president we've had in a long, long time that I actually had some hope in. But I realized I was putting too much hope in that one man and instead of the God who made this country, the God who put that man in the White House, and the God who put the next man in the White House, because he's got something else he wants done. I'm talking about the one who's really in charge. That's the one. And it scares me sometimes at what God's going to have to do to break us in order so that we're usable. I've seen it happen a lot of different ways, boy. I've seen it happen a lot of different ways. And then we talked about Saul and how Saul was chosen to be king, but the only reason he was king, because that's what the people wanted. We want a king. And God, Samuel came to the Lord. He was talking to the Lord about that. And he told the Lord. The Lord told him, he said, quit crying over this. Okay? He said, they've not rejected you. He said, they've rejected me. He said, they've not rejected you or your ministry, you being the prophet. Samuel was the first prophet. Okay? He said, they've not rejected you. He said, they've rejected me from being king over them. But he said, warn them that the kind of king that they're going to get is the kind they've been asking for. And he's not going to be everything they hoped. And boy, that was it. And guess what? You know how long Saul was king? 40 years. 40 years. I remember another decision a group of people made. And they're right on the verge of crossing into the promised land. And they sent 12 spies in, and 10 came back with a lying report, and 2 of them told the truth. And the people rebelled against their leaders. And the Lord said, all right, I'm done with this rebellion. I'm done with this stiff-necked, hard-hearted, stubborn, prideful, egotistical people. I'm done with them. He said, you turn around and you go back towards wilderness. And he said, you're going to wander there until every one of you are dead, and your children that you said would be a prey, they're the ones who will go into the promised land. And the people said, oh, Lord, we're sorry. We didn't mean to do that. No, we don't want to. The Lord said, don't go. Moses said, don't go up. Oh, yeah, we're going to go up. The Lord brought us here. We're going to go up. We know we've made a mistake. We're sorry. You know, we're going to go up. We're going to go up. They went up. Guess what happened? They got themselves killed. That's what happened. And you know what those people did? They turned around and wandered for 40 years. Be careful of what you think you really want and what would really make you happy. Ask the Lord, what do I need to make me happy? What do I need? I've got these ideas of what I want. And listen, you want them long enough. You put your heart on that long enough. You know what the Lord do? The Lord will give it to you. You know why? Because he knows what's in man. The Lord give it to you. You better be careful. The Lord give it to you. And when you get it, it won't be everything you thought it. And guess what? It ain't going to last 6 months. You know? You know, when we decided we wanted to start having kids, you know what we realized? We realized that's a lifetime commitment. We're mom and dad until we're dead. You understand that? I mean, you tell elderly parents you don't need to worry about so-and-so. You're kidding, right? You're nuts. They're parents. When you give birth to a child and that is your child, you are that child's parent for your life. I heard a woman give a testimony here. Barbie and I heard it the other day. And it blessed us. And this woman, was she a congresswoman or something like that? Anyways, she was testifying before Congress. And she's a congresswoman. I don't even remember her name. But you know what she said? She said, you know, she said, I was at the top of my class. She said, I was heading toward being the valedictorian of my senior class. And she said, when I was 16 years old, she said, I made some mistakes and got with some friends and got pregnant. And she said, all of my friends counseled me, I need to get an abortion. And he said, the boyfriend I had, the father of my child, asked me, when are you going to take care of this thing, get an abortion? And she said, but something, she said, that first ultrasound I went to, when I saw that heart beating, she said, something changed in me, because I realized that's just not just something in there, that's a human being in my body. She said, my mother didn't need that extra pressure. She was a single mother raising three kids. She didn't need that. She said, but I had that baby. And she said, I worked two jobs. She said, I graduated high school. The father of the child never offered any help or any support. She said, I went to college. I worked two jobs. I went to college at night. She said, I had friends. She said, I joined a sorority at college. And she said, some of my best friends that was in that sorority was some of the best babysitters, because they would babysit my little baby while I was working a second job or a third job. And she said, today, she said, I've got a 25-year-old daughter that wouldn't have been here had I made that choice. She said, she didn't come here by choice. She said, it was my foolishness that did that. But she said, I took responsibility for that.
Amen.
You know what one of the great blessings of admitting that you're wrong and have been wrong and you need to get things straight is also accepting the responsibility for the deeds and their consequences. Lord, ever how long this lasts. We made some financial decisions a few years ago without prayer. And we had a friend who was in the banking business who said, "Oh, my house was supposed to be paid off when I was 45. That was our plan." But in the midst of a really, really difficult time, instead of trusting the Lord and depending on the Lord, you know what we did? We listened to the counsel of some folks. You just refinance. And put your car payments and all that and just add another 15 years to it. You'll be all right. Get a lower payment. Get some of this burden and pressure off of you. Wished I'd never done that. Wish I'd have just went back home and said, okay, Lord, this is a hard time, but this is the plan you give us, so I don't know how you're going to provide. And I'll make whatever phone calls I need to make and talk to whoever I need to talk to or do whatever I need to do. You just help me. No, I didn't do that. You know what? I wanted some relief. Lord said, okay, you want some relief? There you go. That relief's going to cost you another 15 years. That's what you want? Is that your little god of silver? Is that the kind of king you want to rule and reign over you? I'll tell you, the Lord didn't need anybody to testify what was in man. He knows what's in man. And the Lord don't need me to tell him what's in you this morning, because I don't even know. And just like I said in the beginning of this message, if I knew about you what God knew about you, I wouldn't even preach to you. And if you knew about me what God knows about me, you wouldn't sit here and listen. God knows what's in man. Let's go to the fourth guy now. In Job chapter 1. Job and Job, there was a man named Job, and he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But I want to show you something. I want to get over here in Job chapter 31. And I don't know that I'll read all of this, but I think it behooves us to see the kind of man Job was. So just turn over to Job chapter 31, and I'll try to be quick about this. And in Job 31, this is Job's final arguments to his three friends who'd come to comfort him, and instead of comforting him, they just accused him of sin. Now, Job was a righteous man. Now look, this was the life Job lived. Listen to this. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then shall I think upon a maid? You know what the Bible says? You know what Jesus said about that? If a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, what's he already done? He's already committed adultery with his eyes. You know what Job said? I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not think upon a maid. For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? He's talking about what will a man get if he don't do these things? You know what Job's counting on? His own self-righteousness. That's his problem. That's what a lot of people's problems are. They're self-righteous. They won't take advice or counsel from anybody. Job's three friends certainly he called them miserable counselors, are y'all? You know? But verse 3 says, he said, is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? This is Job talking. He said, God knows my steps. God knows where I've been at. God knows what I'm doing. If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Self-righteous boy. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind down to another, and let others bow down upon her. You know what he's saying here? You understand what he's saying? He said, if I've laid wait at my neighbor's door, he said, if I've been trying to convince my neighbor's wife, you know, trying to slip in the back door with her, and he said, if I've done that kind of stuff, he said, let God do that to me and let others get my wife. That's what he's saying. Let her grind to another and let others bow over her. That's what he's saying. Self-righteous, man. Self-righteous. He said, for this is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all mine increase. That's jealousy. That's what that is. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? Talking about his manservant and maidservant, see? He said, and did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless is not eaten thereof. That's somebody that's starving to death and ain't had nothing to eat, and you're pulling out a ham sandwich and just eating it in front of them. That's what that is. He said, for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone. Job said, if I ain't took care of people and done what's right, he said, then just let my hold from my shoulder right here. He said, just let it be jerked off. He said, if I hadn't done these things. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. There was a good motivation. That's the terror of the Lord. Okay? If I have made gold my hope, or if I have said to fine gold, thou art my confidence. People do that all the time. Long as they got plenty of money, I feel safe, I feel secure. You know what can happen in a moment's notice? You know what happened? You know what they did in China? They lowered the value of their money. You know what that did? That jacked up the cost of everything. You know what the United States could do? You know what they could say? Say, folks, we're going to Bitcoin. That way we won't have any thievery or robbery. That Bitcoin is, you know, one Bitcoin is $12,000. So that $100,000 that you've been saving all your life, these are all the Bitcoins you're going to get. And there you are. What are you going to do about that? Well, no, this says certified by you. So? Well, I have a constitution that can be amended. This is the only book on the planet that cannot be amended. It cannot be added to or taken from. Boy, old Job, my goodness. If I have said to fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. What is that? That's patting yourself on the back. Oh, you've done such a good job. My goodness, you know, this farm's doing great, and that's a good thing I had all this planting. And boy, my barns, you know what the Lord said about that farmer one time that had lots of increase? He called him a fool. That's right. Well, what am I going to do? I'll tear down my barns a bit. Tear down your barns, just build another barn. No, I'll tear down my barns and build greater. You know what that is? Ego and pride. Everybody needs to see how good I'm doing. That's what happens. He said, my heart hath been secret, and my heart been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. See, Job never did any of those things. Job always gave credit to God for every blessing he had. Okay? And if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. You know, there's a scripture that says, don't rejoice when evil finds your enemy, because the Lord could lessen the punishment he had originally intended, and some of that come back on you. Mm-hmm. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, what was Adam hiding his sin with? Fig leaf. See? Did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Job wasn't the kind of guy who would let peer pressure influence him. If he knew the truth, he would tell the truth, whether even if he was the only guy standing. That's what he would do. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him, who? God. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince, I would go near unto him. Boy! That's boasting, man. You know the reason why he boasted like that is because wasn't all those things was lies. All those things were the truth. Problem is, he didn't understand or recognize that God's righteousness was so pure and so white that Job, as best as he could be, was altogether vanity. That's what the psalmist said. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat and cockle instead of barley, the words of Job are ended. And plop, there he sits. And so in verse chapter 32, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Well, people get, you know what that is? That's what's in man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I ain't got nothing I need to repent of. I ain't got nothing I need to say sorry for. I ain't not got nothing I ain't need to ask forgiveness for. I ain't got nothing I need to change. That's what Job thought. I've got everything lined up, lined out the way it's supposed to be. And nobody knows how life has dealt the hand to me. Well, it deals a rough hand. It's, you know, it's like that congresswoman I was telling you about. I mean, she married a man. Later on, after she got out of college, she married a guy. That guy adopted that daughter. That daughter's 25 years old. She was out of college and fixing to start a business of her own. And that 16-year-old girl who messed up raised her up right. Folks, I want to tell you, the decisions you make ain't going to last 6 months. Right. It ain't going to last a year. You know, it when you become a parent, that's a lifetime deal. You know, I've lost my dad. A lot of you lost your parents. We can go up to Yellow Mountain up there to Stewart Cemetery. Say right there's where my dad's at. We can go anywhere, wherever your parents are buried. That's where my parents are buried. Even with a headstone in the ground, that's still my dad. He will never cease to be my dad.
Amen.
When I'm dead and gone, that's what these kids will think. And when I'm dead and gone, that's what these grandkids will think. There's my pa. That's my pa right there. That's my pa. The decisions you make and the things you do, brother and sister, the people of Israel, they wanted a king. They got one. And I want to tell you, that lasted 40 years. They wouldn't go into the land of Canaan, wouldn't believe God, and then decided, oh, well, we was wrong. And the Lord says, no, too late. The opportunity is gone. The door's closed. Well, we'll force it open. Well, go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. But I'm warning you, it's going to cost you your lives. And it did. And you know what they wound up doing? Exactly what God said. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. And the Lord told them, boy, he told them straight. He said, you're dead carcasses. And that's what it was, boy. The two oldest guys that went into the land of Canaan was Joshua and Caleb. Because they were over 80 years old. Everybody else was, well, if they were 20 and under, from 20-year-old and under to babies, that group went into Canaan. Anybody that was 20 and over died in the wilderness. So Joshua and Caleb were a minimum of 20 years older than everybody there. They had a bunch of young people to be soldiers. But those young people saw what God did to their parents for disobedience, how God divided the Jordan River and let them cross over. They did exactly what God said when they marched around Jericho. Those people had learned something. That 40-year trip that they had to make, some of them was born during that 40-year trip. That's it. What's in man? Well, sometimes it's not a whole lot of faith. Sometimes even when God shows you something plain, you still don't believe it. Sometimes it's just because you've made a little god of your own. Little god of silver, little god of gold, little god of whatever it is. It may be security, it may be control, it may be ego, it may be pride, whatever it is. That's what people do. And maybe you want something and want something and want something and want something and want something. And you know what? God said, that's not good. That's not good. That'll bring you harm. You need to let that stuff go. But I want it and I want it and I want it. And the Lord says, okay, you can have it. And then when you get to it, you're all happy. And then all of a sudden you realize, boy, this ain't what I thought it was supposed to be. And this is not the joy I thought it was supposed to be. Lord, can we change? Nope. Nope. No change. That's what you wanted. That's what you got. There it is. And if it's not that, well, I don't need to repent. I'm a good person. I mean, I know I got my faults and stuff like that, but I'm not hardly ever wrong. I wouldn't say that, preacher, but that's how we act.
Amen.
That's right.
That's how we act.
Yeah.
And old Job said, if I've done this or I've done that, if I've not done this or I've done that, if I've not taken care of my farmland like I ought to, and the furrows cry against me, he said, let thistles grow instead of wheat and cockles instead of barley, the words of Job are ended. Boom. And there he sits. And so the three friends ceased to speak to Job, for they could not convince him that he wasn't righteous. And then Elihu steps up, boy, and he does some preaching then. You know, that don't convince Job. You know what convinces Job? When God shows up. The Lord gave Job several chances. I mean, he didn't have to agree with those three friends, but he could have just went off and said, Lord, I've been counting on my righteousness too much, and look at what I'm in. Look at the shape I'm in. I've lost my wife. All 10 of my kids are dead. I've lost all my finances. All my wealth is gone. My land's gone. Everything I had that I was thankful for was gone. It's all gone. And look, I'm eat up with two or three different kinds of diseases. Lord, I'm just a filthy rag. That's all I am. Any point or any time, he could have come to that decision and made that choice. But he didn't. You know why? Because he was just convinced he was right. Just like us, until God shows up. And boy, when God shows up, boy, the first thing the Lord says when he shows up, who is this? Who is this that says words without counsel? Stand upon thy feet like a man. I will demand of thee an answer that me. Boy, I want to tell you, it wasn't Job. I sure am sorry that things went like that. Says, get up on your feet, stand up. Look straight me in the eye and shut up and listen. You say, well, the Lord won't do that to me. Sometimes it takes that.
Amen.
Whack you in the back of the head. Just not knock your brains out of your head. Why? Because you're talking too much and listening too little. That's what happens. That's what happens. And sometimes, folks, as bad as I hate to say it, this is the truth. Sometimes there ain't no change even when God does show up. The Lord didn't have any need that anybody testify what was in man. He knew what was in man. He knows your motive. He knows what your thoughts are far off. He knows your down-sitting and he knows your uprising. He knows that. There was a man. There was a man. There's other examples. Maybe I'll do that next Sunday. Maybe not. Maybe that's all you can take. Maybe that's all I can take. But nevertheless, folks, I want to tell you this. God knows what's in you right now. God knows what's in you right now. And I'll do my best to help you if you need some help. I'm not going to give an invitation. Don't feel like I need to. We're just going to pray, and I'm going to let you take that home with you. But if you need help, I'll hang around for a little while. I'll be glad. We'll talk and pray and do whatever you need to do. Because a lot of times, you know, people just need to soak something in before they can make a decision. And you say, you know, everything that knothead up there said was right today.
Amen.
Every single thing that idiot said was right. How did he know that? Well, because the idiot's got a great book. The idiot's got the Holy Spirit inside of him who does what he wants to do. You see, the head's above water. I'm down here in the body. This up here knows everything that's going on. I'm down here. I may be the little toe. I'm fine with being the little toe. I'm fine with that.
Amen.
I'm fine with that. Because everything is nourished from the head. And I know who my head is. I know who my head is. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this service this morning. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit's touch. I want to thank you for the divine unction that you've given, and I thank you for the grace you bestowed. earnestly ask you, Lord, to bless each one that is here. Help each one. And Lord, just speak to us. And may we respond and listen. Instead of, Lord, it coming down to the place where you've just got to show up and just shake us to our core. Lord, I pray that you just speak to every heart and every soul. And I just wanted to say, Lord, thank you for being very, very gracious. Because, Lord, you could have just snuffed us, any of us, out a long time ago. Or even if you didn't do that, Lord, you could have let the devil had his way. And he would have destroyed everything just so we'd be miserable. And trying to convince us we ought to just hate God. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us, Lord, to see ourselves as you see us. And Lord, admit and own up to who we are and what we are. That, Lord, we could get right next to you, right where we ought to be. We know you're the head. And Lord, everything we need comes from you. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, folks. Have a good week. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday night.